This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hi, I'm Tim Bray, and this is Small Things That Matter, the show about little things that most people overlook, the quiet ideas, small actions, and the unexpected stories that make people and communities better. So today I'm talking with Beatrice from Maracay, but before Maracay here in Hamilton, Beatrice from Chile, come to the country so many years ago, wasn't it, Beatrice?
Yes, 23 years ago.
23 years ago, couldn't speak English, become a WinTech tutor in horticulture, 15 years there, and now's running gardening workshops at Maracay.
Yes.
So interesting in its own right.
Thanks, Tim.
But I want to start with this one small moment. You were leading one of your workshops, and after spending time with people in the garden, talking about what they were growing and how they were growing things, you offered free lettuces. As I know that I've been to one of your workshops and you offer the harvest, you offered these lettuces and they said, no thanks.
Yes.
What was going on there?
That was really a happy moment because, well, we grow in the workshops, we grow the plants from seed. So we distribute, we grow the seedlings and people take seedlings home to start to do their own gardens. And they take lettuces and silver beet and all kind of veggies. And then, but we grow them as well in the Maracay, the Desert Spring Community Center. So when we finish every workshop, I say to people, okay, let's go and harvest food or kai to take home.
And that's really generous right at the start there.
Yeah.
That must have a good feeling to not only helping you in the garden and seeing them, but being able to grow and cook it there as well too.
Yes. So then on that day, I said, hey, everybody, there is so many lettuces. Why don't you take lettuces home? And I said, why? Why? And then there was that everyone was growing their own lettuces and even sharing with their neighbors and family. And that is really was a happy moment. So this had happened as well with silver beet. And that is amazing when you can see that people have enough greens at home. That is really, really a happy moment. And
wow, that was must have been really heartwarming, I suppose, to see that people come through. Where did you realize it was bigger than gardening? Because when I think of that, I think of, okay, so they're growing things at home. But what did that actually mean?
Yeah, well, look, for me, it means just so much. And it's really like a dream come true because I think that it's not that hard, but actually it's not that easy either. So I do tell people about my failures when sometimes some things don't work. So when they do work and you get good at it, it makes you so much happy. It means happy. And I can see that people, I can see they are happy.
And I know from personal experience, and for those who are listening, that I haven't mentioned this before, I work for a organization called Foundation Community Participation, where we help people with disabilities or impairments live bigger lives. Now, whether that's into gardening, and that's where our connection with Beatrice is, or whether that's into employment. But there was one lady that comes to mind that's been through a workshop with Beatrice and learnt to grow. And then she goes, you know, I could volunteer here. So she started volunteering with you, bringing home some vegetables. And then she actually brought that into our program and said, well, can we cook some of those things as well? And we're developing recipes around that whole cycle of learning to grow, bringing them home, learning to cook and using recipes as well. That was just like for myself going, wow, this is bigger than just one workshop. That affects their family and their houses. That affects a lot of things.
That is correct. And I must say, between all of us, we're learning together, and we're having volunteers. Actually, is lovely because they bring back also. They feed the people that come to the workshop and people that do volunteer. They feed back into the garden. At the beginning, I came to the garden growing the typical things, but now we grow all kind of different food from different ethnicities, different needs, herbs, and even ginger.
Oh, wow.
Some people say, why don't we grow curry leaves? And then we're growing different things and learning how to eat, how to preserve, make preserves, how to dry, how to cook them. And then so it's a big learning among all the people that attend these workshops. And that is very, very interesting.
So that was really interesting because I know we debate this at home a lot. We say, look, there's two types of people, and I apologize, I don't mean to polarize people stereotype them, but those who would say that food is fuel, and that's true, but those would say food is relationship, it brings people together, and the growing, the eating, the sharing it together, sharing it with your neighbors actually is so much more than just the food we're eating. And it's good to taste nice as well too, I suppose, but it's developing that relationship and that community that goes with that as well, isn't it?
Yeah, for me, I try to pass it on that food is so important because I think actually it's both. I even wouldn't divide it. Mm. I said try to grow, for instance, with the seasons, and that is the thing that we say, okay, forget now about tomatoes, and we are in May. Forget about the cucumbers, maybe the last ones. Now it's time for cabbage, broccoli, lettuces, and all the winter veggies. Mm. And the harvest that we are doing, now we are eating heaps of pumpkins and potatoes and kumara that we have harvested. So we are eating with the season. And I said, and in summertime, forget about the cauliflowers and the broccoli and the cabbage. Mm. Too many white butterfly. So we eat power food that grow with sunlight, with the heat, with the weather, with the climate, one thing, but also we share with the families and we enjoy it. And so we are learning even how to eat the Jerusalem artichokes that I thought it was a terrible thing. And now I love them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we make chips and they're just the best.
Yeah.
And so we are learning together, but I agree with you, both things is a happiness, but also to eat healthy with the season. So we enjoy very much that too.
Oh, that's cool. So coming back to the start, when people first come to you, where are they typically? Where are they struggling with? Because if they're already seasoned gardeners, they typically wouldn't come to a community workshop. But
yeah, well, that is interesting because people that attend, some people come with quite knowledge, but some people don't have really much knowledge about food gardens, or sometimes the knowledge is quite narrow. So people that have grown potatoes and tomatoes, that's it. So we start introducing and learning about how to grow different things and how to use them. So I think that keeps people coming. I have people that have been attending for 3 years. And they keep coming. And I guess also it becomes a group that get on well together.
Yeah.
And we enjoy each other's company too and working together. And there are some people that I say they never have sow a seed in the ground. So this is the first time ever. Or people that never have planted a seedling before. So we say, okay, plant a seedling. I'm going to teach you. And now you can do it at home. So that is it's very rewarding, really.
Mm.
And adult people that have been adult people that never have planted a seedling before. So they learn and then they go with that skill home. And that's great.
And that skill, like plants anyway, multiplies exponentially, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And can be transferred to other types of plants and things. So one of the things that struck me when I first met you and I first sort of had a look at the workshops was you were asking questions rather than saying, this is what we're going to do, like a typical school classroom type of thing. This is what we're going to do. Here's the syllabus. Here's what you need to learn. You actually started a different approach. You started asking people about their own gardens.
Yes. So for me, because I teach in background, you want to know what is the previous knowledge people will have. So I always will start with just for them to tell me and also to know how much they want to know, because sometimes I could go into photosynthesis and this and that, but then you don't want to just if there is no what they the level that they are at. Mm. So I will try to find out what is the level, and so I go from there. So each a workshop is a little bit tailored to the level of the attendees. And that, I think, is people feel they are learning, but also they don't feel out of place. So I try to make them feel comfortable.
Oh, that's good. So you're starting basically starting from where they are, rather than where you would like to.
Yeah, and they may be some of the challenges is sometimes that I, when I have smaller groups, it's easier, but some days we get a large group, so then you will have really different people that have different needs. So that is, I try to tell them, well, just wait, stay with me here. I just wait a little bit while I answer this question, and then we go back to,
No, that was interesting. So starting where people are, evaluating where they are and having those conversations. And having those conversations, I'm sure, pays dividends in the group as well too, because it will change that dynamic, I would assume. Would that be correct?
Yes, definitely. And people feel value. And also I found that sometimes people will come with ideas. So I ask them about, and then there's a feeling. I have personally, I have learned a lot from the attendees, and there were so many crops that I didn't know before in Chile, my country, and I've been learning because of people coming here or what people interest them. For instance, I'm impressed mint or herbs or things that this actually one of the people from your group that he really likes growing mint.
Yeah.
So then we talk about mint, and then why not?
I know, and it's actually interesting, another one, and I don't know if you know this here, brought back to me in the office a little Chilean guava, the little tiny ones. Yeah. I've never had it in my life. Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
So then we are propagating those little bushes now so people can take plants home. And I introduced them to one of my favorite teas, like lemon verbena.
Okay.
So we're growing cuttings, and then people can take them home. So we share our experiences, and we learn new things from each other. Yeah, it's quite lovely.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I suppose that leads on to that confidence as well, not only in confidence in gardening, but confidence in being able to do other things when they get home as well.
Yes. And say, and actually, just last week, I learned of that maybe it doesn't relate to the Maracay workshop, but people getting jobs, that they people may be just getting some, as you say, some confidence in things, in life, being able to express themselves, speaking and working with others, and then applying for jobs and getting jobs. And that is really good, very rewarding as well to know. So we say congratulations that you are,
That is
very good.
That is huge.
Yeah.
Like in saying that, this is a very small part of the conversation, but that is huge for not only them, but their families, the provision not only of food, but actually income for their families as well.
Yeah, and for the program, for this Maracay program, to know that we are a little bit more than just growing lettuces.
Well, absolutely. But starting with lettuces and asking people about where they are with gardening, it's just a small thing on the surface, but seems to be, like, listening to you, it's a very deliberate strategy to engage with people, can lead to something so much bigger.
Yeah, the other thing that we really promote and is having respect and consideration. For example, when we harvest at the end of each session, we said, okay, how many of us here today is eight? Okay, we share between eight people. The sharing, being fair, being and consideration with the other members of the group. So, or the same when speaking. I really encourage them to consider your the group members, so then everyone can feel safe and respected. So we really try to do that.
So that's actually quite a holistic program in the sense of social skills and ability as well too.
Yes, definitely.
So going back to the lettuces and saying no thanks as well, what do you think that proved though? You know, when you're off the lettuces, they turn no. What was the win there?
Well, for me, the win, because one of the, when we started with this program 3 years ago, the Maracay Garden, we thought, well, most of the time community gardens, they could be, the purpose would be to produce food, to share, to give back to the community. Or sometimes they have individual plots where people grow their own food to take home. But for us, our goal was to teach people how to grow food in their own houses. And we really, in Hamilton and in many cities in New Zealand, we are so lucky to have gardens, a piece of land around our houses that is really impressive. It's not everywhere in the world, but here in New Zealand we do. So if we have room to grow plants, and what it proved is that the people were doing it, that the project is working. Yeah. That is the thing that it was... the project is working. It's not just, I don't know, a social group. Mm. It's just people doing it. And that was so happy.
So on one level, I suppose when people come in, they'd say, well, I'd like to join a social group. I'd like to make some friends and things. But it's so much more than that. It kind of almost catches people off guard with the confidence. Oh, I've got confidence now. Or, oh, I've got new skills now. Or I can take this away with me now, which is kind of not a byproduct, but
yeah, and it proves that people that are with no previous knowledge, with no smart skill, we can learn. What it made me think is that almost everyone can do it. If people outside there, they're thinking, oh, could I? Yes, you can. Mm. You can do it. So many people we have had so many people coming through the program, and you can tell that they can do it. Now, the next thing that we're doing is saving seeds. So I said some plants are very easy to save seed from. So I said save some seeds, and then you can become independent. You know, you can do it yourself and have your own seeds and keep on growing
Because I was just about to ask you that, because how do you know when they're starting to do things on their own and ceasing to rely on you? Because that's really the proof, isn't it?
Yep.
That when they can do things for themselves and when you're not involved and they just come and tell you, say, oh, by the way.
Well, the other thing that happened is quite often, I would say, percentage of people, they bring their own produce to share back in the group. So they come with those apple cucumbers or different things, or they come even with plants that they have grown at home. They bring them back. So then you can see that they are doing it. They are doing it on their own, and that is very, very rewarding, and it's good. The other thing that I would like to mention is that some people will say, well, I'm renting, I cannot have gardens. So the thing that we do is we do gardens in a bucket.
Okay.
And then I do have there some example for them to show, like we can grow 2-3 silver beet that can feed a family, or grow some herbs or parsley, coriander, different things. So I grow also a lot in buckets, and then people can relate to. Some people can relate to that when they have no access to, or they cannot. They are flatting, or they cannot really modify the garden of a rental property. They can have their own portable gardens, and that is a good one thing to do too. People do it a lot,
and that's just another example, really, of meeting people where they are, aren't they?
Yes,
and saying, here's what you have, but it can be actually really something quite beautiful.
Yeah, and then life situations. If you don't have land or something, they can do that too. So we promote those portable gardens, and that's
very fantastic.
Good.
And how past this have you seen it being repeating? So, you know, in one workshop you'll see this, but is it seen to be duplicating and people coming back time and time again to... with that confidence, those skills, because you did mention jobs as well too, so it's gone beyond what you're doing.
Yeah, people keep coming. They keep coming, and I think it's also like enjoying each other's company. It's so many. Mm. One thing is about growing the vegetables, it's about the learning, but also it's about the community that we have developed. And then some people have been coming for 3 years, and they keep coming, and they enjoy it. So also we I'm moving on in the learning. So like last year we were doing grafting, air layering, and different pruning in the summer pruning, the winter pruning. So I think in honor of the people that have been coming for several years, I try to put up the skills a little bit.
Okay.
And for some people, so that they can feel like they're always gaining some knowledge or new information.
Mm.
So it's a balance there between the newest and the people that have been coming, but we try to cater for everybody.
Oh, that's fantastic. When people first come, What do you think they need first before that change happens? So what's that catalyst? We spoke earlier on about you saying meeting them where they are, asking them questions about their garden. So it's only really that small thing of asking people yep. where the gardens. Is there any other things that you do that have, you know, kind of to set this up? Because
yes.
We all want it to succeed, of course.
Yes. The first thing would be I try to ask them, what do you like eating? What do you cook? What do they want to eat? Because what is the point on growing, I don't know, something, coriander, if they don't eat coriander? Mm. So they say, oh, I really like, and normally kiwis is amazing how much silver beet people will
wow.
eat. And parsley. So, and those ones are really hard to fail with. So that will be my beginners. So to try to make the win.
Yeah.
Get a win. And when they say, wow, I don't need to buy a silver beet ever again. Then they go, you know. And then I have some radishes lovers, people that love radishes. Mm-hmm. And that is easy also to grow. So then we go for the easy one. And
so
then,
small wins, so they yes. meet people where they are,
yep.
hook into some of their interests,
yep.
give them some small wins, and then confidence obviously grows yep. past that and balloons out from that.
Yeah, and for more confident gardeners, normally people, I don't know why, they fail to grow carrots. So I teach them how to grow carrots. And when a confident gardener can grow carrots or garlic, they know that they are in the next level.
Wow. Well, well, you heard that here first.
So then so when the people feel that, oh, I'm quite good for silver beet or parsley, mm-hmm. okay, let's go for the next one, that is carrots and garlic. Yeah.
Check box number two.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, so they go. So, yeah.
Oh, there you go. So coming back to yourself, actually, because you even when you're talking to me, your own story is actually really amazing. Coming back from Chile, not speaking English,
yeah,
that must be really hard. So building a life from scratch in New Zealand, what did that teach you about beginners learning confidence or getting confidence in their own right? Because talking to you now, I wouldn't have said that you didn't speak English 18 years ago. I can still probably see that personality that got you through all of that stuff. But
well, I must say that I do have a strong will, mm-hmm. as you could imagine. but I also I must be honest, and I did have the support of my family a lot. We came to New Zealand when my husband working, and then and three children, and they support me all the time to go to. I went to continuing education courses and to get a voluntary work and volunteering in Waikato to improve my English and do some groups to talk. Mm. But and I did have the will to do it. And I said also sometimes because I guess I do like talking. Mm. So not being able.
I never would have guessed. We're very similar in that.
So
respect.
Not being able to speak was terrible. Yeah. So I thought, oh, I will need to learn this.
Yeah.
And then, and it was good actually. It was. It has been great. It has been great. Hard at the beginning. Mm. At the beginning, I could speak, but not write.
Yes.
I couldn't write, and then slowly you start getting better and just putting yourself out there and doing it and just failing many, many times and then you become a little bit better. And I still have doubts sometimes for people speaking English, so Spanish and then English is like prepositions are very hard. But then
it kind of clicks.
Yeah, it clicks and then you get used to it. Yeah.
Okay, so how did this, you know, your background shaped that learning process? Because I can see now and talking to you that there's that underlying love of people. There's that underlying meet people where they are, give them some small wins, and then build on that before their confidence grows, and then they can share it. And you can see that process coming through there. How did your own life and your own journey kind of feed into that or into that teaching method?
Well, I guess it's a little bit who I am I really, and even from school I was part of the theater group and performing and stuff. I liked that and quite outgoing. And then When I went, I was lucky to go to university in Chile. I am an agronomist. But I did like, always liked people and being part of the, in my school, children of the parent association and in at school being in the leaders in the class. It's really my, I guess it's my personality. And having big families in Chile, you need to stand out and talk by, speak by yourself or... So to get the, to be able to wear, to have the bicycle and to do this and then just to ride because one bicycle for four siblings, you need to really fight for that.
Speak up.
Yeah, speak up.
Yes.
And then, yeah, so I guess it's part of the, growing up in a big family with a lot of cousins, a lot of family is who you become. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, I just... Coming back to some of the people that have gone, that we support with certain disabilities and stuff that have come through your workshop, I really now see, I see the fruits of that. A lot of them are just starting to do volunteering. Some of them are actually considering work now.
That's great.
Where 6 months ago, it wasn't even on the radar. And just that method of meeting them where they are, and I've had the... I guess privileged to follow their journey through and meet people like yourself that give them small wins, support them, make these little accommodations, and then they thrive.
Yeah, and you know and that is something that I you realize that for in all kind of jobs or areas of work, you can have people with different levels and skills and the. This person from your that volunteers with us, this lady, she's great. You teach her how to water plants, and she will do it well and constant and all the time. And even sometimes we need to pick up feijoas, and it's a time-consuming job. You need to go down and pick up feijoas one after the other and select them, the good one, the bad ones. And she learns how to do it, and she does it properly. So there are some sometimes on jobs that maybe... it doesn't need to be equations or big things. Some simple jobs that people are doing very well, and it's a big contribution for to the project, and we are grateful for that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Beatrice.
Thank you,
we really appreciate you and the whole team down there at Marakai. The results that come out of it are phenomenal. So thank you for telling us about them. Thank you for sharing us.
Thank you, team, and and have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Join me again for another conversation next week, and you can listen to any past episodes on your favourite podcasting platform. I'm Tim Bray, and this is Small Things That Matter.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.